Today's episode is sponsored by Datadog, a cloud-scale monitoring platform that unifies metrics, traces, logs, and more in a single pane of glass. Automatically alert on performance anomalies, easily build custom dashboards, and collaborate to resolve issues in real time. Try Datadog for yourself with a free 14-day trial. Hansel Minutes listeners will also receive a free t-shirt. Visit bit.ly/datadogshirt. That's bit.ly.com/datadogshirt to get started. This is Scott Hansel, and this is another episode of Hansel Minutes. Today I'm talking with Kelly Mays. She's the Senior Director of Product at Roblox. She's got an MBA from Stanford. How are you?
I'm doing great, Scott. It's great to talk with you.
I'm excited to talk to you, but more importantly, the little people in my house are excited that I'm talking to you because this is a Roblox house, and my 11-year-old and my 13-year-old are obsessed. And in a world of Minecraft and Fortnite and the internet itself, Roblox has been a kind of a staple in our house for years. Can maybe for people who aren't familiar with it, you can give us a little sense of what Roblox is and why it has such staying power.
Sure. We are a community-generated game site. That means when you come to Roblox, you can explore lots of different games that were actually created by our community. That's kids in high school, kids in college, kids in, you know, some as young as middle school or elementary school. We have ways where you can play with your friends and connect with others online, and you can even build games together. So it's a lot about exploring and creating and playing together.
Yeah, I thought they were playing like a game, but they enter Roblox, they find games within it from the community of games, and then I'll think that they're doing one thing. Like I thought they were playing Cops and Robbers, and then another day they were playing another game.
Yep. We've got Cops and Robbers, various variations of that. We have superhero games. We have Work at a Pizza Place is quite popular. You can get a team together and run a pizza shop together. We have a lot of high school simulation games. So you can go to high school and be a teacher or a student, have a family, be part of a gymnastics team. A lot of cool things that you can explore really quickly in a digital space that you can also explore in real life, but maybe you can do it a little bit faster and a little bit more creatively online.
One of the things that I think is notable about Roblox is that some game makers and game construction things have kind of limitations where it's like, we're a game where you shoot people, and here's 1,000 ways that you could come up with different ways to shoot people. But you just expressed a diversity of things that one can do from Cops and Robbers on the one side, or a high school simulator. Are there any limitations to what one could model within the application?
We have found very few. So it's mostly 3D, although you can do 2D games. It's mostly multiplayer, although you can do single player games. We do have a limit on the number of players that can be together, sort of a technological limit, but we're trying to increase that as much as possible so that you can have expansive, vast worlds with hundreds or someday even thousands of people playing in the same space.
So that sounds like no limit to me. I mean, like it is.
We aim for no limits.
Yeah, the aim is no limits, which I think is really exciting. You know, this is evocative of like early social gaming online. Like I remember Second Life, which was you enter a space and then you decide what you want to do with that space.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, we take a lot of inspiration from a lot of the worlds that have come before. A lot of people have tried to go after this idea of the metaverse, and you even see it in books like Ready Player One, or I think Snow Crash is one of the books that inspired Second Life. And there's just been this collective idea of a digital space where you have a strong, real, authentic, but digital identity where you can explore worlds and really connect with people across space and time almost. You can visit the pyramids. You can have a friend who's in China. And this is the same concept that's inspiring Roblox and several other companies today, but we have a very strong vision of being able to create this digital metaverse and bring people together in it.
One of the things that was interesting about Second Life and worlds before it was they really intended those things for older teens. But I see really young kids on Roblox, and I remember that my kids were young. What do you when do you think is an appropriate time to introduce a young person to an online world in a safe way?
Oh, that's a great question. As a parent, I really think it's somewhat individual in terms of like how your kid can handle social relationships and, you know, how much attention you're willing to give them and what guidance you're willing to give them. On Roblox, we definitely make a lot of effort to make our community safe for kids. We do very strict moderation of content, as well as moderating the things that people say to each other. We have a real-time text filter that will take out bad words or anything that we deem unsafe, even things that are kind of considered bullying or flirty content that might be okay or playful for an older population that really aren't okay and safe for younger kids. So we do a lot of moderation on our side to make sure that our community is safe for all ages. And as a parent, you know, I think digital citizenship is something that I want to teach my kids and that I think in this day and age, we all should be teaching our kids. It's inevitable that they will have social interactions online at some age, and at some age, it will be independent of you. And so we're quite aware of trying to teach good behavior and good habits to our population. It's a tough thing, and it's really an unsolved problem in the industry. Like you said, most of the products out there and the ones that have come before are aimed at adults who are considered to have, you know, good judgment, whether that's true or not in real life. That's how software has basically been built so far. So there's not a lot of state-of-the-art help for people to have good behavior online.
Yeah, and it's hard to also express, like, what is behavior? Like, my 13-year-old was quite upset because someone jumped into his Minecraft world and took some of his stuff. And that's, you know, that's just like going to school. People are going to be mean to you. No AI can say, hey, knock that off. But I was impressed. If you go to roblox.com and look at the section/parents, you do everything from, you know, look at the clothing of the avatars to make sure that it's appropriate. There's an extensive reporting system. It feels like there's more parental controls and chat filters than in most any other similar environment.
That's right. We do consider ourselves to be pushing the state of the art in terms of safety and digital civility. We also ideally get people to learn how to resolve their own conflicts. So, you know, one really touching example that I found from talking to some Roblox players and parents that came through to visit our offices was a girl was being bullied on Roblox by somebody that she knew. And her mom was able to use that as a teaching experience to bring the girls together and talk about how their words impacted each other. And they were actually on the tour together, rebuilding their friendship. And that's the kind of thing that I would love to make happen more often and more seamlessly.
Did you say digital citizenship?
Yeah, digital civility, digital citizenship.
Those are really excellent ways to phrase what we're trying to express here.
Yeah, we're, you know, in a large virtual world, we're seeing society define itself. Digital society is building on Roblox, and people have different kind of roles and different ways of interacting online than you do in real life. And we want to make it as healthy and supportive as possible.
What kind of lessons, though, can you learn from the worlds that came before you? Like, we talked about Second Life, but let's go even further. Like, let's think about, you know, MUDs or BBSs, right? Yeah. The multi-user. As soon as the computers became networked, they became social.
Yeah. I think a few lessons that I look at, kind of contrasting various products that went before, one is that you need something to do. I mean, one of the big challenges with Second Life that maybe wasn't present as much in MUDs or kind of traditional games like World of Warcraft is that you showed up in Second Life, there's very little to do. And so on Roblox, there are games, right? There's monsters to kill or places to explore or levels to level up or things to craft. So having something to do together is really, really important. Another thing is around anonymity. So, and you can see this in a lot of the online forums as well as places like Facebook. When people are anonymous, sometimes it actually brings out the worst behavior, but it also can let you express sides of yourself that are really valuable and authentic, and maybe you might be afraid to say in real life. So we're trying to strike that balance where you can be anonymous, yet also safe. And so that's one of the reasons we invest a lot in like forming friend connections where you're more likely to be anonymous in a positive way, and also our moderation systems that really help keep the public areas very safe.
Yeah, that's a really good point, because a lot of people believe that anonymity online is an opportunity to be mean and not an opportunity to be kind.
That's right.
One of the other things that I was very impressed about, because certainly my little boys do not have high-end devices by any means. They, you know, I think one of them has an iPhone 6, but your engine for Roblox goes even farther, like to the simplest of devices, but it also looks amazing on my high-end PC.
Yeah, we have a single platform strategy where we want to run on all devices. That goes from your Xbox all the way down to phones, also tablets, computers. We definitely want to be accessible and make sure that our community is a welcoming place for everybody. No matter what country you're in, no matter you know how fancy your hardware is, you're welcome here and we want you to be part of our community. And we want the games to be fun and look good.
So in this case, you're bringing inclusion all the way out to device inclusion. Like, because we don't know what network they're on or what device they're on. They might be on an old Android or an old iPhone.
Yeah. I mean, we see a lot of kids using maybe their parents' device or a hand-me-down device from their parents. So our audience is not always on the biggest, fanciest machines.
You know, I was looking around to see some of the most creative examples of games on Roblox. And I found one that I'm not even sure if it's real or not, but I find this hilarious. It's an article called How to Pass an Interview on Roblox. And it makes me wonder, it's got this wonderful little suit person and says, be polite and show up on time, look professional. And it's got a little Roblox person in a suit. I'm trying to understand, are people hosting actual job interviews here or is this a game?
That's funny. I haven't seen that one. My guess would be it's a game. I haven't heard of people hosting actual job interviews on Roblox. Although our community of developers are starting to create indie studios, essentially. We're seeing teams of 5 or even up to 15 or 20 people working together. That includes artists, game designers, software developers, and they might be recruiting people on Roblox.
Which just gets to the point of it could do anything, right? This is a shared space, and within the limits of the technology, if someone wanted to have an interview on Roblox, I don't see any reason that they couldn't do that.
For sure.
Do people speak to each other? Are you preventing, like, it seems like there's a lot that my kids have tried to say and the chat filter has prevented them from saying, but you do keep people off microphones, right?
So that's right. We have text chat currently. We don't currently have voice chat.
And is that a conscious thing or is that like a limit of technology? Like, it seems to me like, I mean, I was on Xbox Live very, very long time ago. And frankly, it's been years since I turned text chat on for anyone who's not a friend because I just don't trust people to be kind.
Yeah, it's a priority so far. I would say it's something that we might consider in the future, but it really hasn't been a priority. Our priority is helping people have safe conversations and play with their friends in productive ways.
Hey friends, Backlog is an all-in-one project and code management tool development teams have been waiting for. With project management, bug tracking, wikis, and Git rolled into one easy-to-use platform, Backlog provides the powerful features that development teams need under a clean UI that anyone can use. You can easily onboard your whole team and start working on tasks in minutes. Additional features like Gantt and burden down charts make it easy to manage projects. Mobile apps keep your team connected and simple pricing scales with you so you can stop worrying about per user charges. Build your next project with Backlog. Get a 30-day obligation-free trial at backlog.com/Hanselminutes. That's backlog.com/Hanselminutes. There's a huge amount of other websites around Roblox. Like you were mentioning that indie game developers have found it as an engine. And I'm seeing tons of articles on designing avatar clothing. There's Twitch channels that aren't even dedicated on how to play Roblox. It's all about building. It seems like you're trying to shift people from simple consumption, where they just mindlessly play a game, to really encouraging them to create.
That's true. Well, since our platform relies on creators, and a lot of our creators start out as players. So we've had a long-term focus on making sure that we're inspiring people to create on our platform and making easy tools for them. essentially, Roblox offers as many tools as you need to get your game to a worldwide audience. We have a development studio. We do distribution so we can put your games in front of the right players. We allow you to monetize your game through in-game purchases. And we're even adding tools to allow internationalization. So free translation tools, as well as compliance tools to be able to sell your game in a lot of different countries.
Interesting. So it's not quite an app store, but it feels like an app store, really. It's an engine for creation.
Yeah, it's definitely an engine for creation, a full stack distribution.
And I'm noticing that the developer section of Roblox has really jumped in the last couple of years. If you go to developer.roblox.com, you can go to the sophistication level of as high as you want. Like I've got my 11-year-old playing around in Roblox Studio, but I also see like here's a German developer that's built their whole career on top of Roblox. There's a developer conference now. So, you know, grown people can make and make stuff on Roblox and experience Roblox as well.
Yes. Yeah. It's not just for kids. In fact, we're seeing almost half of our players are over 13. So we're definitely seeing a lot of teenage players, even college age players and grown up players start to enjoy the content on Roblox. And another cool thing is as our developer community widens, we're seeing more diverse types of people creating experiences, which is also pretty exciting. We have international developers that are very successful now. We've got a lot of female teams that are developing games. And it's really, really cool to see everybody being able to have a voice on the platform and share their imagination.
So what do you think is a risk though? Like you've got this car that's barreling down the freeway here and it's dramatically successful, but now you have a growing, I was going to say aging, but the correct word would be a growing user base of folks that are building around this. How do you make sure that it's still going to be accessible to the tweens?
Well, one way is widening the types of things you can create. And this is one area that's really cool. In the past year, we've enabled people to start creating avatar items, which are a lot less complicated than a whole game. So you can create a cool hat or a cool hairstyle and start to sell that, which is possibly a little lower barrier to entry than a full-fledged game. Mm. So the more stepping stones like that we have, where you can create an avatar item, you can create a hangout space, you can create a full-fledged game, the more we'll be able to tap into people at various skill levels.
That's a really good point. And I'm here in Roblox Studios right now, and certainly you can start in a Tron-like virtual world with nothing but a base plate. But it's kind of cool. The templates scale like the game scale. So it's like, all right, here's some grass, go nuts, or here's a castle, or let's just start with, you know, destroy this, you know, create and destroy this whole town. And my 11-year-old is, you know, certainly differently sophisticated than my 13-year-old, and they've been able to go and create infinite runners or just wandering around like Zelda type games. It's interesting, the idea that they could monetize, though. I'm not sure what I feel like about that. I suppose they could even make t-shirts for their school, and they could have their peer group be in there.
Yeah, you can sell t-shirts. You can sell virtual t-shirts on Roblox, and almost anybody can do that.
So you're creating an economy. What are the Robux, is this like, is this real money? How does that translate? Is there a currency conversion?
Yeah, there's a currency conversion. You buy Robux from Roblox or with a gift card or something like that. And when a developer or creator sells an item, they earn Robux and they can cash that out for real money. You have to earn a certain amount before you're allowed to cash out. You can't cash out like 50 cents, but we do have a lot of people that are earning money and cashing out Robux every month. In fact, the top developers can make millions of dollars every month.
Really? That's amazing. And to be clear, as we said, when inclusion means every platform, like when I'm here in Roblox Studio and I'm moving around inside of Create and Destroy, I can publish this and it will work on a low-end iPhone and it will work on a full PC.
Yeah, you can publish a game to Xbox in minutes.
That is really interesting because, you know, being able to go and publish a game under the guise of another publisher really opens up something that would not be open up to my kids until they were quite a bit older. Certainly to become an iPhone developer or an Xbox developer would be a non-trivial amount of complexity for them to be able to pull off.
Yep. And a lot of times, you know, your first game, you might just want to share with some friends or share with maybe a community or forum. And so we also give people ways to see what their friends are creating and quickly visit that through your profile.
I really like that idea too, because like I know that my 11-year-old wants to make a Twitch channel and become the next ninja.
I think all 11-year-olds do.
which I need to explain to them that it's really not a career. You know, like,
it's actually hard work.
Yeah, it is amazing. They are disappointed when they can't make a Roblox game in just 5 minutes. Mm-hmm. It's like, well, you can't just republish the existing template, my friend. You know, I'd like you to put some amount of effort into the thing. I'm looking here. You've got animation packs as well. So they could spend their money to jumpstart their game by including different items within the game and then republishing that, sharing it with their friends. They don't have to publish it publicly, right? They can just share with their peer group.
I think most games are publicly available. It's much easier to discover games from your friends.
Yeah. Oh, I see. So if you know what to look for, you can find anyone's game. But the idea would be that if your friends' games are front and center.
Yeah.
Is it true that there are millions of games, or is that just marketing hype?
No, there are millions of games because millions of people have done probably the first steps, which is opening up that base plate and doing a couple of things and publishing them. Mm-hmm. We have probably hundreds of thousands of games that people have put in several, you know, like many hours to build. So yes, millions of games, but a lot of them are very basic, and mm-hmm. hundreds of thousands of games that involve a lot of thought and effort.
Right, exactly. As we say, long tail is long.
Yes.
But there is a huge amount of games. Like there are easily visually thousands and thousands of games of high quality. And I put in high quality by saying they, you know, I think a good example of quality on Roblox is the effort that one puts into the tile that represents the game, the icon that represents the game.
That's
and,
true.
You know, if they went and they drew a tile, then they put some work into these games.
Right. I've probably made 3 or 4 games myself, but I haven't made an actual tile.
I'm telling you all the good tips on how to be successful in Roblox. It's so interesting though. There's like games. You get Saber Simulator. So like, let's burn things with a saber, and like, let's adopt a piece of furniture is like apparently extremely popular right now. Mm-hmm. It's such a diversity of games. This reminds me a little bit kind of the, we hear about like the deep web, right? Not the dark web, but the deep web. It's the web that you can't Google, where once you enter Roblox, within there are millions of things. But it would be difficult to determine without actually entering Roblox how big this thing is. I feel like when I entered, I've discovered this huge iceberg of stuff that was not easily searchable without
entering. Yeah, back to that limitless world feeling.
Yeah. Am I to understand that it also has a virtual reality component?
Yes, we have designed Roblox and built Roblox to be available in VR. It's not a giant platform for us, so we're not doing a ton there, but all the experiences work in VR. You can put on a headset and go around the pizza place or the cops and robbers game, and it works, and it's all 3D natively, so it's essentially built for VR. We just haven't seen a ton of customers actually using that yet.
Yeah, it does definitely seem like VR is in an unusual place right now, and that Roblox would be well positioned if it ever does pop. Mm-hmm. If we can take a phone and put it on our eyes very easily, the potential is huge. But even my children have not expressed a huge amount of interest in VR. It just makes them nauseous.
But again, one of the cool things that we're building is a platform that literally runs everywhere on every device available. And so we spend a lot of time, you know, building the technology to make that possible and make it easy. And so we're going to support VR hardware along with all the other hardware that's out there that people play games on.
Right. And being able to support anything, not just any device, but any kind of concept, you can also, I suppose, build a curriculum around this from schools. Are schools building economic curriculums about how to, you know, trade items, how this currency conversion works? Have you seen pickup in schools?
I would love to see an economic curriculum. That's awesome. We've seen coding, so software pickup. So Roblox is a great platform to learn coding. Our Our games are all built and scripted in Lua, which is a really good beginner language. And it's interesting because we're in fact building our entire application platform on Lua as well. We're building on the exact same tools that the game developers use. So the Roblox Studio is built in Lua, and our mobile app and Xbox app are built in Lua as well. This is making us really invest in really robust tools for development in this language. It's a really interesting problem because it's not typically a language that big tech companies use. And so we're really able to invent the exact tools that we need to solve the exact problems that we're facing. It's a pretty exciting and pretty bold direction for the company to go.
Yeah, I think that there's a lot of excitement around Lua in gaming right now. I had some folks on recently from the Pico 8, tiny game development in Lua as well. And there seems to be a bit of a Lua renaissance happening because it's such an accessible language. It's almost like the basic of the 80s, except it's 2019 and people find it to be extremely accessible.
Yeah. And it's also nice because you don't need to compile, so you can sort of immediately see the fruits of your labor.
Yeah. And I'm looking, if we go to developer.roblox.com, right off the bat, there's a section here on the Roblox client server model. So you're able to go and write this Lua and express what you need to express in the client and on the server. And a lot of the remoting is just handled for you very, very nicely. And the kids only have to learn the one language, and they are now suddenly globally distributed client server developers.
Yeah, that's pretty cool.
Yeah, and when they create their, again, you pointed out scale, when they create their sound, their music, and their graphics, you're handling the optimization to make sure that their stuff looks great everywhere. And even though there are sections on game performance, I'm not seeing in a lot of the tutorials examples on how to make it look great everywhere. Roblox, the engine, just takes care of that.
That's right. We do things like downloading the games in a very smart way. We do things like rendering the graphics at different levels of detail so that it performs well. We do a lot of the motion and animation and physics. So we really spend a lot of time building out these systems and then making it really easy for the developers to access them.
What is something that has happened on Roblox or something that was built where you or someone went back to the developers and said, I did not know this was possible. This is pushing this thing we built way further than we ever planned for it to happen.
Well, I think we definitely see that with the number of people playing games. Some of our top games now have billions of plays. And I think that's probably more, I think we would have been very happy to have Roblox have billions of plays at a certain point in time. Then now it's within our games. Our top one has 8 billion.
8 billion in a single game. And again, long tail is long, but the level of enthusiasm and repeat visitors is massive.
Yeah.
Yeah, I've been noticing as well, things that I did not know were going to be possible, because you pointed out that it is largely a 3D game, although certainly folks have the other the ability to make 2D games. But there's also story games, and there's a great section called the Creator Challenge on the developer.roblox.com, where we're effectively doing like old-fashioned text games, except in a 3D environment where the person runs up to a book and then interacts with the book. I would not have thought that would have been possible, because the first game that I saw was Cops and Robbers.
Yeah. Another interesting one, people have created some real life locations. Like somebody created a virtual version of Disneyland that you can run around. People have created just really cool, very high fidelity scenes. There's a bunch of games that often use the word showcase in their title. So if you search for showcase on Roblox, you see some of the people that are kind of pushing the graphics to the max. And they have these really beautiful, immersive scenes of houses or islands where you can explore that have just really high fidelity, beautifully crafted graphics.
Yeah, that's a really another important thing, that if you're a parent or if you're even not a parent and you want to play a fun game, that I admit that when I saw the graphics in Roblox, I was dismissive. I thought, oh, this is cute. This is primitive. But some of the things that are happening are truly graphically intensive and amazing, and it does scale. I've got a very high-end gaming PC, and I have a great experience at 4K full screen on a big machine looking at like running around the Roblox Ultimate theme park, which is a mm-hmm. great example, or a complete model of Universal Studios. And it does push the machine. And I don't feel like you have to, don't be dismissive of what might seem like simplistic graphics. It is really extraordinary. What do you think that someone should do if they're listening to this podcast and maybe they've thought about other creator type games and we hear about Minecraft, it's the big elephant in the room. What is the difference? How do you differentiate Roblox from something like Minecraft or some of the other big creator games?
Roblox makes it a little easier to explore the worlds that people have created since it's all on one platform. Roblox is also more social, in my opinion. It's a little bit easier to connect with your friends and do things together, mm-hmm. including create together, which is one of the most exciting and fun things to do on our platform.
I was going to say, it feels like the ability to write the code very quickly and then run into the game and play with it and switch back and forth. I see that my kids have created a lot of physical worlds on Minecraft, but they haven't actually done anything with any interactivity. They haven't mm-hmm. made any, they haven't changed the laws of physics. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Yeah, that's right.
Yeah. Being able to go into a game and say, I want to make a lightsaber simulator or a shooting game, or just walk around a city while that they enjoy Minecraft and they find it to be different, very, very different from Roblox. The kids understand the difference to be able to go into a world, hang out with their friends, and not necessarily be limited by the environment around them.
Right. You get to create your own environment.
So folks can go to roblox.com. It's in every app store. It's on the Windows App Store, iOS, Google Play. What's the smallest, tiniest requirement? Like, I could do this on an iPhone 4, I suppose, or anything that I could find in the App Store.
Yeah, I think it's iPhone 4 for sure.
Any PC? What about Chromebook?
Any PC, any tablet, Fire tablet.
Really?
Yeah. Yeah. We are not yet on PlayStation. We're not yet on Nintendo. We're on Xbox in terms of consoles. And someday we'd like to be everywhere.
Fantastic. Well, I really appreciate you chatting with me, Kelly Mays, about building, you called it digital civility and social citizenship.
Yeah. Thank you. It was a fun chat.
This has been another episode of Hansel Minutes, and we'll see you again next week.